Reformed Church.
I heard somebody one time was asked what they thought the most dangerous doctrine in the church was, and they had an answer for that, which I'll kind of get to in a second. And the thing I remember thinking of when I heard the answer was that really there isn't a particular doctrine that's more dangerous than another if it's not according to Christ, right? Because the Bible essentially says in Colossians 2 that we are spoiled or robbed of the fruitfulness that we can be seeing in our lives by anything that's not after Christ, anything that's not according to Christ, right? He names philosophy and vain deceit and the commandments of men, and he goes through all these various different things, but eventually just sums it up by saying anything that's not according to Christ spoils people or robs people of the fruitfulness that they could be seeing in their lives equally, right? Because if we receive through Jesus, then any other teaching aside from showing people what Jesus did is going to, you know, hinder people's fruitfulness. So that is a truth, that there isn't a doctrine that's like more dangerous than another one if it's not according to Christ, right? Everything that is not Jesus and him crucified and just putting faith in that work is going to hinder people's receiving equally, right? So we always want our thinking, therefore, to be according to Christ and on Jesus and all of that, right? So that is a truth. There's not really something that is more dangerous than another when it comes to bad doctrine or doctrine that's not after Christ, but there are doctrines in the church, though, that are more prevalent than others. And that's why I would say, I just want to share something with you about what I feel, and this is my opinion, but what I feel is the most prevalent dangerous doctrine in the church today, and really, even in the world. And so let me just share something with you real quick on Romans 4:13. Read this real quick. Romans 4:13 and verse 14. But starting in verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." When he says the promise, just to sum that up real quick, that's just talking about the gospel. The promise is referring to the gospel. In my opinion, I think it's called the promise because the gospel that was spoken to people in the Old Testament and before that hadn't been manifested yet in Christ. So it's called the promise because it, you know, was something still to come. But that's my opinion on that. But it is referring to the gospel. So when we come into verse 14 then, it says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise," or the gospel, "is made of none effect." This is so important. This is something I was looking at yesterday, and I just want to share this with you. So look at what he's saying here. He says that if people that are of the law, meaning the law of Moses, the works of the law, if they can inherit from God, then faith is made void or useless. And the promise, the gospel, is made of no effect. In other words, is also made useless, or there's no point to it. What he's actually saying here is that, you know, we believe that Jesus came to this earth so we could receive through him, and we receive by faith in Jesus, by receiving the gospel. At the very least, every Christian believes that that's how we get saved, at the very least. At this church, we know that's how we receive anything from God, is we receive through what Jesus did, through faith in him. Even when it came to the lame man being healed in Acts, you know that he said that this man was made strong by Jesus' name through faith in that name. It's just because it should be nothing new. We receive everything from God that way. But what he's saying here is that if you can actually inherit, if you could receive from God by your works or by works of the law, he's talking about the law here, if that is a way to inherit from God, then there's no point in faith. There's no point in the gospel if you can already receive by your works. So if I were to sort of pull out the logic from this verse, and I think that everybody, if you really take time to look at this verse and hear what I'm saying right now, you'll see that this is true. What Paul is trying to say here is that he's saying that if you can inherit by another way besides the gospel, namely by your works or by the law here, if you can inherit that way, that means if you can receive from God through your works, through works of the law, if that is a means or a way by which we could receive, which of course it's not, but if we were able to do enough works and just receive from God that way, he says, then faith is made void. In other words, there would be no need for us, and this, you just follow my logic here, which is really the Lord's logic here in this verse. If you could receive by another way, by your works, then there would be no point in putting faith in Jesus. There would be no point in the gospel. the Lord Jesus wouldn't have had to come to make a way. We wouldn't have to put faith in Jesus. We wouldn't have to receive the gospel if we could already receive by our works. That just makes sense, right? This is the logic here. If there was already another way to receive from God, Jesus would not have had to make a way for us to believe in. Okay? You follow that logic? And you can see that's what he's talking about here, right? Now, in particular, he's applying this logic to the law, right? He's saying if you could receive by the law, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come for us to put faith in him and receive the promise or the gospel. You wouldn't have to do all that. It would make all of that useless if you could receive another way. So he is applying this to the law, but you can see the logic here. What he's really pointing out is that why is it? Why is he saying what he's saying? Let me ask that question. Why is he saying what he's saying here? That if we could inherit through the law, then the gospel and faith in Jesus would be useless. Why would he say that? Why would faith be useless if we could receive by the law? Because the logic behind his point here is that the law being another way, if another way were introduced to us, if there were another way to receive from God, namely he's applying it to the law, but the logic is if there's another way, then Jesus would not have had to come to make a way, and faith, the gospel, what Jesus did would all not be necessary if there was another way to receive from God. That's the logic here, right? And again, if you read that verse in your own time especially, you'll see that that's what he's saying. Now, that principle, though, is so important to pull that logic from this verse. Paul is saying that if there's another way to receive from God, what's the point in Jesus? What's the point in faith? What's the point in the gospel? And here is where I come to what I believe is the most prevalent, dangerous doctrine in the church and in the world today, and that is the God is in control narrative that you hear. Now, you may say, well, what does this verse have to do with the God is in control narrative? And if for people that don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to need to, if you're listening online, you're going to need to look at our Sovereignty of God teaching. And you know what? I'll include that below the video so you can click and listen to our teaching on the sovereignty of God and the whole concept of that God is in control and everything that happens, it happens according to his will. But sort of to sum that doctrine up, basically, it's the notion that if God really wants something to happen, he can just make it happen. Now, there is so much teaching that I can't go into right now as to why that actually isn't true. The quick verse that I always use to just quickly disprove it is the fact that the Lord already told us, you know, in the book of Matthew, he asked us to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which in and of itself is evidence that his will is not being done completely on earth. It is being done completely in heaven, which is why God will never ask us to pray that his will be done in heaven, but it isn't being done on this earth, which is why God asked us to pray that it be done on this earth. Okay, that's the quick verse, but there's so much more background behind that. But here's the truth, right? Everything that you see in this world isn't just God's will automatically coming to pass. And here's the danger. I'm not taking the time right now to disprove that doctrine. I've done that in other teachings, but I'm taking the time right now to show you why I believe that is the most prevalent and dangerous doctrine in the church and why that doctrine is so dangerous, to believe that if God wants something to happen, he can just make it happen. He can really just control whatever he wants, and it's not important that it come through Jesus, it's just the fact that God's will can come to pass. The reason why it's such a dangerous thing to say is because, watch this, if God is able to make his will come to pass in somebody's life, if someone needs to be healed, if someone needs to be saved, if someone needs to receive from God, if someone needs to be prospered, whatever the problem is, if something needs to be solved on the earth, if we say that ultimately, right, God does things in different ways, but ultimately, if God wants that to happen, he can make it happen, right? If God really wanted to just heal somebody, he's God, he can do anything. He could just snap his fingers, and he has that ability to just snap his fingers and just heal somebody. Or, ultimately, if God wanted to cause someone to rise or cause someone to fall or cause someone to receive or cause someone to not receive, basically that God has the ability to just control things and conform them to his will automatically. Here's the danger of that. What we're saying with that, obviously, when you say that God is able to make his will come to pass because he's God. The problem with that is that you'll notice that in everything that I'm explaining to you right now, that is a way to receive from God, therefore. If we say that God is able to make his will come to pass in our lives just because he wants it to, he's able to conform things and ultimately pull the God card and say, I can do anything, really. I can just heal somebody. I can just save somebody. I can just snap my fingers and cause things to happen on the earth if I really wanted to. Here's the problem, is that what we're saying, therefore, is that God is able to intervene in the affairs of human beings, and he's able to cause people to receive good from him if he really wanted to. But what you've just done is you've introduced, watch this, you've introduced a way for man to receive from God that isn't Jesus or faith in him. You see what you've just done by that? People don't realize that when they say, oh, God's in control, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. You see, what you've just done is you've introduced a means for people to receive from God that is just his sovereign will. Because if people can receive healing or be prospered in some kind of way, or God can give someone success, or God can do if he can do those things, we may not believe that he always does those things, but most people believe that he can. He's God, he can just do all, and again, there's plenty of teaching on this to disprove this way of thinking, but again, click the link below, but you have to understand, if that really is true, and God can, he has the ability to cause people to receive from him if he really wanted to, that would be, what we're saying, is that's a way to receive from God then. It's a way that we can receive from God if he really wanted us to. Now, that isn't true, but if it were true, you've introduced another way to receive from heaven. You've introduced another way to receive from God. And this is why I read you that verse from Romans 4:14, is that whenever you introduce another means by which people can receive from God, you are making the gospel useless. If you see, the same way that Paul used this logic and said, hey, if you introduce to people, Paul's even saying, you know, here, like, if I were to introduce to people and say, hey, you can actually just do enough good and receive from God. You can get saved that way, or healed that way, or, you know, be given success in a particular area of your life that way. You can receive God's intervention in your life just because you do good things. Paul's logic here is that if I introduce another way to receive from God, what's the whole point in receiving by faith then? If I can receive by my works, it's making faith useless. I don't have to put faith in Jesus to receive. That lame man, for instance, right, that we just mentioned in the book of Acts, if he could just receive from God by his works, why does he need to put faith in Jesus? Why does Peter need to put faith in Jesus to say, rise up and walk? None of this makes any sense. You don't need the gospel. You don't need faith. You don't even need Jesus to have died. It makes all of that useless. It throws it out the window if we can just receive by our works. God would have never had to send Jesus. You wouldn't have to put faith in him. You know, and we would not have to preach the gospel to people if by our works we could save ourselves, heal ourselves, all that, right? But Paul's point is, why does it make faith useless? Because whenever you introduce another way for people to receive from God, it makes this way over here useless. And I'm submitting to you the exact same logic is true of the God is in control narrative. That is not true. It just simply is not true. Just because God is God does not mean that God is able to, in justice, because he's just, he is not able to give good things to sinful people. He's not able to give good things to unholy people, not able to do that, injustice, not for lack of power and not for lack of authority on God's end, but for lack of injustice on God's end, because he is never unjust. God is not able to, in justice, bless people and intervene in our lives for good apart from Jesus. But when we say that he is, when we say, I've heard so many people say, well, God ultimately can just do his will. He can pull the God card and really just do whatever he wants. We've introduced another way to receive from God. And if you introduce that as a way to receive from God, that basically, if you know, if God wants you healed, he'll heal you. If God wants you saved, ultimately he can save you. If God wants you to succeed in this particular area, ultimately he can just do that. If we're introducing that, that's another way for people to receive from God. And whenever you introduce another way to receive, you're making faith, the gospel, and Jesus useless. That is the danger of, I believe, the main danger in the God is in control narrative. Because if you think about it too, if God can ultimately just do whatever he wants, he didn't need to send Jesus. That means that what we're saying is that God really could just save people automatically. God really could just save you, and he doesn't need to send Jesus then. If God is really in control of everything, and if his will ultimately is able to come to pass in your life, What you do is you look therefore over at the cross and you say, well, why is Jesus doing that then? You look over at the cross and say, why is Jesus suffering then? Why would God send his son to go through excruciating pain if he was able to do it another way? But we don't think about that. When we say God is in control and God's will ultimately just comes to pass if he really wants it to, then why couldn't he have just saved us then? What need is there for faith? What need is there for his son to go through so much pain? Why would God take such a hard route to get salvation to you, or in healing to you, and success to you in your life? Why would he go through such a hard route, and for Jesus to go through so much pain and be marred more than man, the Bible says, and to take stripes on his back and to, you know, take nails in his hands, if God ultimately could just do his will another way? Don't you see Paul's logic is coming to pass here in what I'm saying? That if it's true that God is able to do his will in your life another way, whether that be by your works, whether that be by his sovereignty, whether that be by another person, no matter what way it is, if you introduce another way, whether that be the law or God's sovereign will, for people to receive from God, you're making faith useless, and ultimately you're making the gospel of Jesus Christ useless. There's no point at all in Jesus suffering. There is no point in faith in him if God could just do his will in your life another way. The reason why Jesus is necessary is because God could not, despite his sovereignty, despite his authority, and despite his power, God could not by justice, okay? By justice, because the wages of sin is death. God could not by justice save you by just a snap of the finger. Because the wages of sin is death, and therefore Jesus had to come and do what he did. And it's because there was no other way for God to do this that God had to send Jesus. But you see, when we say that ultimately God can do his will automatically in your life, it makes Jesus useless. But when we say that, no, there was no just way, as Romans 3 says, there was no other just way for God to justify us except by the propitiation of Jesus' blood through faith in that propitiation. Romans chapter 3 says that. That in order for God to be just and justify us and make us righteous, he had to send Jesus as a propitiation and appeasing by his blood, and we had to put faith in that propitiation. And so you see what that does is, when I'm teaching you that there is no other way to receive from God except through Jesus, that should ring a bell from John 14. When I'm telling you that there is no other way to receive because God could not in justice bless us except through Jesus and faith in him, what I'm doing is I'm upholding the gospel and I'm making it necessary again. But when you say, and when I'm telling you that no, God can't just implement his will automatically, I'm making Jesus necessary. But when, if I were to say that God can just implement his will automatically in whatever way he sees fit, you've made Jesus unnecessary. And that's the logic that Paul is using. When you introduce another way, and I said it doesn't matter whether it's your works or something else, in this case, God's sovereignty. If God's sovereignty is a way for his will to come to pass in your life, he didn't need to send Jesus to make his will come to pass in your life. Doesn't that just make sense? Why do you have to pay such a high price if you could have done it an easier way? But if we would know that God could not in justice do it an easier way, he had to send Jesus. And this is why God is not in control of this universe, is because we need to put faith in his son, the mediator, in order for God to communicate his good will toward us. In order for God to get those good things to us, we need to put faith in the mediator. You realize, you know what, Lord Jesus, like you are the only way to receive from God. There is no other way. And God's sovereignty is not a means to receive from him. Only faith in Jesus is that means. So anyway, I just want to submit that to you, because if I were to say what the most prevalent wrong thing that I have heard in movies, in TV shows, even amongst unbelievers, or in the church, it's almost common knowledge today that, oh, if God wants to happen, it'll happen though. God is God though. He's all powerful. He has all authority. If God really wants to happen, it'll happen. You know, God's in control ultimately. God is sovereign, and therefore, because he's sovereign, that means he's automatically in control of everything. Because that is so prevalent, that's why I would say that I think it's the most prevalent, dangerous doctrine in general, in the world today and in the church. And again, it's just simply not true. Jesus is necessary. He is the only way to receive from God. God cannot implement his will in your life automatically, but you need to put faith in him.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.